Well, good morning to you all. Good to see everyone here this morning as we have come together to worship our God and to remember what He has done for us. And I really appreciated that song, as that song, the last song we just sung, and it encourages us to lift up our spirits and sing out His praise. And that's really in line with our theme this year in rejoicing in the God of our salvation, because we are told to do so, to rejoice in the Lord always, from Philippians chapter 4. And as you look over there in Philippians chapter 4, you will see that the book is just filled with encouragement from the apostle to those saints there at Philippi to continue to rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we should continue to do in spite of what we may be facing. I know some of us upcoming surgeries, and I want to encourage you to continue to rejoice in God as you have requested our prayers on your behalf. And our God hears, and He knows what He is doing, and so I want to encourage you to rejoice in Him and also always put your trust in Him, because He's there to encourage us, to be with us, and to help us through all the difficulties that we might face in life. This morning, as we engage in study from God's Word, I hope that as in keeping with really the whole theme of, again, this year, rejoicing in the God of our salvation, we have the opportunity to look among us to see that if there might be one or two or several that might be qualified to serve as elders among us. And so we're going to be looking at some passages this morning to help us to begin that process of thinking it through and making decisions based upon what we read in the Scriptures and what we have observed. And so we have that opportunity, and that's why we should continue to rejoice in God, because we are His people here, striving to spread the gospel, shine the light in our community, and as we look at a world that is just constantly changing, they go down a path, this path for a while, and they find out that that's not the right path, and then they turn around, and next thing you know, they jump on another path. And instead of accepting God and His Word and following that path, which leads them to the ultimate destination of being with God throughout eternity. I appreciate the reading by Brother David, as he brought our attention to Acts chapter 14. If you will, turn back over there, and we'll notice a few things from this particular chapter and verses as Luke writes about the work that was being done in spreading the gospel. And they had come to the area of Lystra as they had been traveling in this first journey, the preaching journey that the apostle and others had gone on in spreading the gospel. And when they came to Lystra, what happened, there were some Jews who were trying to prevent this from happening. So they come up, and what they did is they actually stoned Paul. And as they stoned him, they drug him out of the city. And the disciples are standing there, and what he does, he gets up. He wants to go back in, but he doesn't go. Instead, they end up going to Derbe. But the Bible tells us, in verse 21, it says, after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It's not easy. That's what he's pointing out. And that's what Luke is telling us, the apostles telling these disciples. Sometimes it's not easy being of the kingdom of God. But you continue in the faith. You continue to grow. You continue to push forward. And it says, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed.
So the gospel is being preached. Individuals are obeying the gospel. They're becoming disciples of the Lord. And you have these individuals that they're not just left there. No. They're being taught and encouraged to continue to follow the teachings of the Lord. And that's the way that the church, that first youth that we have studied on many occasions, is referring to individuals who obey the gospel. And God just did not leave us there just to and not give any instructions or have any ways for brethren to be encouraged. No. You had local congregations being established. Brethren working together, making up a congregation where they committed themselves of common action, common motives, and common resources. And the wisdom of God and these apostles following that wisdom, elders were appointed. These elders would be those who we will, as we continue in our study, we will see these men and their qualifications who would be leaders of these various congregations where they were appointed. Setting the example, feeding the flock, teaching them God's word, encouraging one another to continue in the faith of God, and they are leading the way. Because when you look back in the Old Testament, you see the word elder or elders mentioned quite a bit among the children of Israel. In the book of Exodus, it's filled with the elders being called. As God would instruct Moses, you tell all and bring all the elders of Israel. On one occasion when Moses was doing all of the serving or judgment and then was encouraged to break things down, it would be those elders who would be in charge. In fact, what the elders used to do long ago is they used to sit at the gate. There's a reason why they would sit at the gate as the families and the situations in those areas, they would bring their problems and questions, and they would sit there at the gate and present it to the elders. The elders would discuss these things and give their ruling because of their knowledge of the law of God. Not only of their knowledge in the law of God, but their experiences in life. Yeah, they could tell the younger folks, here's why it's so important to follow God's word. And they would convey that wisdom. God says to do this. And what we have experienced in life, that it works when we follow God's instructions. Whereas they would discuss those practical matters, helping these folks as they brought these things to the elders. And as they would be reminded of what does the law say? So elders in the Old Testament is mentioned quite a bit. And then there would be times when God had to chide the elders because they had forgotten who they were and what they were supposed to be doing. And so they were chided. And when you come to the New Testament, you see that term being used again. And as we have read there in Acts chapter 14, appointed elders. But that's not the only term that is used to describe these men. And other terms that will apply to these men, you can also see in the Old Testament as well. Illustration after illustration. But here in the New Testament, as they have appointed these elders in every church, helping the people as they would lead the congregation of which they were appointed. Remember, there are many disciples. What do we do? How do we do? Who would be leaders? A group. And that's why you have Acts 14 talking about elders appointed in every church. And what is interesting, and I want to encourage I have thoroughly been enjoying working with the young folks in the back class and just looking and watching them and them grow. And I would encourage you to use those principles that we have been discussing about authority. Start to use those principles as I am preaching. And you'll begin to see, wow, all this information is there. There's so much that we can learn from God's Word. And I want to encourage you to follow and apply those principles as we're talking about elders and their qualifications this morning. So as these elders are appointed over the various groups that they were attending, both in Titus chapter 1 and also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you'll start to see the qualifications. Now, here's what's interesting, though, and I want to point this out. In Acts chapter 14, you're talking about the days of the miraculous spiritual gifts. And the apostles who had been given the ability to be able to lay their hands on individuals and they would receive the Holy Spirit and the various gifts. And there's a lot of answers or things that God revealed for them to be able to appoint elders. All we have is this general statement here in Acts 14, but understand it was during the days of the miraculous spiritual gifts. And so what someone might ask, well then, if it was during those days, we don't have the miraculous spiritual gift, how will we know? Well, God gives the qualifications. God revealed them. And they were written down for us that we can go back and we can look at them, examine them, and learn. And order ourselves after God's instructions. See, that's the key. Elders are appointed because this is the will of God for His people in given locations. That the group is to grow and develop where men are appointed as elders. That's God's will. In our society, there are so many things that are going on and changing this and that. And now you have where you have a push that there could be female elders of the church. I want to encourage us to look at God's Word. You see, the world is ever changing constantly. Like I said to the kids this morning, one hand, you have global warming. That didn't work out. And so the world switched to climate change, which is back really to the reality that climate does change. But what they have done is they have deceived people in the thinking that we can prevent climate from changing. And as I told the students, there is not enough money. There is not enough power to prevent climate from changing. Why is that? Because of a God we serve. And so, if we want to know what is the right thing to do in a world that is constantly changing from this to that, let's go to and see what it says. And it'll answer our questions. Yeah, it'll answer it. It'll give us guidance. It'll give us stability that we don't have to feel around. We can know God's will in the matter. In fact, to further show that this is God's will, over in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul had left Titus in Crete. I want you to notice. He says, so that you would set, I got the word set circled, in order what remains, and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. In every community of God's people, elders are to be appointed. That's the will of God. That was the purpose of Titus being there in Crete. And so Titus would be fulfilling that purpose. Paul gave that those instructions as well in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, to a young man, Timothy, who was doing the work at Ephesus and setting them up and helping them to grow as God's people. And so those qualifications are given. So we'll be looking at both 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And you'll see a lot of the similarities there of those qualifications. So let's begin by looking at the word elder itself. The word elder is the word presbyteros. What does that mean? Well, what that means is basically, as the apostle points out, is older men. That's the word elders. Elders, presbyteros, these men are old or aged men. Now, let me point this out. Sometimes age is relative. What do I mean by that? You could have a person who is 50. They may not look as good as I do, but 50. But age is relative. Age is relative. But these men are aged, in other words. They have experience in life. They may have even gone through some things. They may have even studied and learned. But that's the idea of elders, older or aged men. And so sometimes when we look at the word elders and we say aged men or older men, sometimes we think, well, an elder must be at least 80 or so. No, no, that's not how the Bible is using it. The Bible is using this as men who are aged. And we'll further see, as if this is defined in the qualifications that are given, and you'll be able to see why that term elders is being used to describe those who would be appointed over the people of God. So the word itself is really describing the men that would be in this position. The men who would be appointed as elders are men who are older or aged. And in fact, we might even use the word experienced. Yeah, as well. Experienced. So that's our word. We see that a lot. There's a great description or, I guess, passages that really will include all of the terms that we're going to talk about this morning. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. But really, Acts chapter 20, verse 17 in particular, and then down to verse 28. In verse 17 of Acts 20, Paul calls for the elders at Ephesus. He's in Miletus, and so he sends for the elders of the church in Ephesus. These men who are older or aged, experienced men who are appointed over the church there at Ephesus. So Paul sends for them. And so they come to him, and he begins to talk to them as the Holy Spirit uses him to convey warnings and encouragement to these men. And that's where verse 28 comes in. Because in verse 28, turn over there to Acts 20 and look at verse 28. In verse 28, what you have is the warning. He says, you be on guard for yourselves. He's talking to these elders, these aged, experienced men. That's that term describing them. For them to be on guard and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. These elders are not only aged men, experienced men, but they're also overseers. Episcopos. That's there in Acts 20, verse 28. Overseers. So, these aged, experienced men are overseers. So, overseers then are men who are in a position to make sure that things are going according to the will of God. That's why they're told to be on guard. You're overseeing and making sure that things are going according to the will of God. And if it's not, then make the necessary corrections. And we're going to talk about this, of how to do all of these things in another lesson. But I want us to get the foundation of all of this together and think about this in reference to the elders of the New Testament. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with these things. But what I want to encourage us and those who may not be experienced to see where we get the information from and what passages that these things are taught. And so that we can always go back to them and refer to them because they will become the foundation of men being appointed as overseers of the heritage of God. So they're told to be on guard. The Holy Spirit has made them overseers. In other words, they're guardians, and it's sort of like the word superintendent. Superintendent makes sure that things get done, and tending to, say for instance, you find that in reference to schools. You hear the word superintendent of school. Well, what is he doing? He's making sure that the curriculums and everything is in order and that the classes and the teachers are following those orders as he talks to them according to whatever standards that have been set. That's what a superintendent does. He's overseeing the school. And then, as you continue in verse 28, I want you to notice again. Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now notice another thing that is told. To shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Here's the other word. I use the word pastor. You've heard that a lot. Pastors. What a pastor is a shepherd who is an overseer, who is an elder, of which he has been appointed to make sure things are going according to the will of God. And these, as you will see, are plural, more than one. And that's our word, poimen. Shepherd. Do you know the thing about poimen? That's a verb. It's a verb. That's why it says to shepherd. Because what these elders do is they oversee. They're overseers to make sure things are going accordingly. And the action is to feed. To tend to. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd, as you look at the term, I don't, we're not familiar with shepherds. And the reason why is because that hasn't been our culture. But if you're a farmer and know about raising animals, for example, if you are a cattleman, you got to make sure that the cattle are fed. If you're a dairy farmer, you got to make sure that the cows are milked. And if not, you run into some problems. That's what a shepherd does with sheep. He leads them, making sure that they're fed. And when they need to be trimmed, they get trimmed. That's what he does. So he says, to shepherd, to pastor. So that term pastor is a valid term to describe the work that they're doing. Elders describe the men, and overseer describes the position of these men, and pastors describe the work of these men. That's what's going on. And so in all of this, what we're learning is the responsibilities that elders have. As we start to look at those qualifications, we're not going to get through all of them, but we will do what we can this morning as we look at these things, because they are important. In fact, let's look over in John chapter 21. John chapter 21 is a good example of the word pastor and its use in connection with Peter and Jesus. Jesus and Peter. Where Peter has, remember, he's denied the Lord. And now here they are, after the resurrection, they are together. And when you look there at verse 15 as they are conversing, and it says, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my lambs. Take care of them. That's not the word pastor. But notice the next one is the word pastor, which is translated in some translations, shepherd, or the word feed. He says, he said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. That's that word pastor. Feed my sheep. Feed them. Feed them what? Feed them the Word of God. Feed them the faith. That's what you do. You feed them. That's our word point. And then in verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, he says, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says to him, tend my sheep. Take care of them. Care for them. That's what it means to shepherd. It means to feed and to take care. And it's a great responsibility, as you begin to see. So it's describing the work. And what has happened in all of this, because our society changes from here to there and they're not following the Word of God, they change things because they're not recognizing the authority of God. But we are to do this. We are to recognize and follow. Here's another passage. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look over there. 1 Peter chapter 5 also does the same thing. It contains these words to describe the men, the position, and the work
In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, I want you to notice how Peter writes these brethren. He says, therefore, he says, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. So it tells you a little bit more about elders. They are the ones who are partakers of the glory of the Lord. In other words, they're followers of Christ too. And then he says, shepherd. In other words, pastor the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. There is our word overseer again. Not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. And talk about the attitude. But our three words are there. They're there over in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and 28. And here they are again over in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2. They're referring to the same thing. The same men who are aged, experienced. And it is a joy for us to be able to look at these things and learn from them. So let's begin to look at some of the qualifications of these men who would be appointed as elders, who would be overseeing and pastoring the flock of God. In 1 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, as Paul writes to Timothy, and as you saw, or as we read there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, they have to have that desire. Yeah. That's the idea of voluntarily, along with desires or aspires to be. If you don't have the desires, yes, you're not going to prepare yourself, or when the opportunity avails where men are to be appointed, if you don't desire, the qualification is not there. That's why we, as we look among ourselves and we put names in that we might think qualify, and then we talk to those individuals, they may not have the desire. So if they don't have the desire, but if they have the desire to serve, that is a part of the qualification. And then that is an attitude. That is that eagerness, what Peter talks about there in 1 Peter chapter 5. With eagerness. I desire to serve. Realizing this is the flock of God. It is God's heritage. And I need to make sure and strive to do things God's way. And encourage people, His people, to continue to follow in the faith. As those brethren had done over in Acts chapter 14. That doesn't mean you don't... Now understand. That doesn't mean you have to be an elder to do that. In other words, encourage. No, it doesn't mean. This is something that we all should be doing. Encouraging one another to continue in the faith. Strengthening one another. As we participate in our worship and as our in our conversation as we have been doing this morning. As we sang songs of praises and are being led in the songs of praises. And as we participate, it's encouraging. Strengthening. But as far as the position of overseer and to feed and shepherd the flock of God, you have to have that desire. And then here's another term in reference to verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look over there and you'll notice how they are listed there in those passages. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I would encourage you to mark that so that it will you'll recognize it and be able to turn to it and talk about them later. These things later on. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach. And the idea here that's being expressed in above reproach, that you cannot be accusing him or he is being accused of being someone who is not following the will of God
and is out there doing evil things, and then coming back, there is the report that he has been doing evil things. That's the idea of being above reproach. In other words, they can accuse him of doing wrong. That he's not out there just, you know, being a drunk, taking advantage of people, lying, cheating, and stealing. But above reproach. And that's what Titus expresses over in Titus chapter 1, verse 6. I want you to notice something else in that. Husband of one wife. That statement, and I want to encourage the young people, the class that we have, notice what is that doing when we talk about authoritative commands that God gives. God now is specifying. He is specifying those who would be appointed as elders in the position of overseers to feed the flock of God. He says, the husband of one wife. In other words, the man of one woman. So now he's talking about, in the context of the passage, in the qualification, the husband, the male. In our society, I know they're pushing all of this equality stuff, and when I say that equality stuff, it is going against the grain of what God teaches. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the fact that, yes, men and women are one in Christ Jesus. We have different roles in our service to the Lord. But when it comes to the qualification of elders who would oversee and feed the flock of God, God has limited it, restricted it to men, to the male. That's why we teach this. This is God's order. And whether society likes it or not, and I'll tell you, I might be even accused of being a male chauvinist because I'm teaching this. So be it. I'm teaching God's word. God has specified this. See, why society is doing here and there and everywhere, God tells us. And I stand firmly on that. We need to stand firmly on it. Because our society will lead us down a path of destruction, and it will be too late if we don't recognize it. But if we follow God's instructions, we don't have to worry about the path of destruction. We can rejoice in the harmony of truth. That's the joy that we are to have in our Lord. The husband of one wife, so God has specified this. Temperate. You know, the idea of temperate here is the thought. He's not easily angered. He's not easily to fly off the handle. That's the idea. Temperate. Almost like even keel. And it's a challenge sometimes. It is. It's a challenge. But that's one of the qualifications. Because he talks about the character. Prudent. An idea of prudent is thought out, organized in that aspect. You know, using wisdom and deciding what is the best course. And if that hadn't been the best course, to have the wisdom or the prudence to change the course, get back on, get right. And that happens. But prudent. Respectable. That's another qualification. Being respectable. Not only is it being respectable, but hospitable. Now, here in hospitable, there's that word care. Hospital. There. But hospitable. Not only is he hospitable, but
able to teach. Just to be able to teach God's Word. Because after all, he would be feeding, or they would be feeding the flock, teaching truth. So able to teach. Not only able to teach in all of those things mentioned there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus 1, but also not addicted to wine. That's not what he thinks about. And the idea, really, it would be, I guess we could equivocate this to this, that the focus is, during their day and time, they didn't have the kind of refrigeration that we have. And sometimes what they would have to do is, the wine would develop a level of alcohol as they would use it. And they would even at times use it for their stomach. Not to be addicted to that. Not addicted to wine. Another way might be saying, not addicted to cough syrup in our day and time. Not addicted to drugs. That's horrible. You know, he's not going to be a drunk. Not pugnacious. Pugnacious is a word that we don't use, do we? But the idea of pugnacious is not violent, not self-willed. But he's gentle. He's peaceable. That's qualifications that you're looking at. You're looking at, also, when you talk about gentle, peaceable, then you look at all of those passages that 1 Timothy 3, verse 3, Titus 1, verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, which you notice, free from the love of money. Those passages emphasize that. Free from the love of it. He's not controlled by that. It's all about feeding God's heritage. It's all about taking care of God's heritage. It's all about the souls. That's what he's focused on. Manages his household. Hey, manage them. Make sure they're going, doing and acting accordingly. Not only that, but keeping his children under control. They're not wild, so forth. And they have children who believe of what's been taught. God's Word. Now we could sit down and we talk about how many, all of them, and so forth. But you notice what's interesting about these passages? They just point out managing his household and having children who believe. Now, like I said, and at another date we can sit down and talk about this. I'm glad to. But God is pointing out the type of person in dealing with his family, managing his family, encouraging them to do right. And as a result, they believe. Or conduct themselves in a respectable manner. Then you have 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, Titus 1, and verse 9. Not a new convert or a novice. That's, see the wisdom in elders, aged, experienced in family matters. And not a new convert, not a novice. That's inexperienced there. And they have to be holding fast the faithful word. Have to hold fast God's word. Stand firm on it. And then, as 1 Peter, Timothy 3, verse 7, and Titus 1, verse 7 points out, good reputation among outsiders. That goes back to the above reproach. That is neighbors and family. Yeah, that's a wild man. No, he has a good reputation among them. Why is that? It's because these men are above reproach. They're trying to and striving to live their lives according to God's will. Being an example. Because these men are overseers of God's heritage and they're feeding God's word to his people. helping them to understand and grow in the grace and knowledge of His will so that they might rejoice. We're going to go back through some of these things, but this is just to get us started. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Our merciful God and Father, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you've provided. Help us, Lord, to live accordingly, to always put you first. And help us, Lord, as we look among us to see men who might be able to serve as elders, that you give us all wisdom and a heart and desire to serve you and to do according to your will, that you may be pleased with our efforts as we live in this world, being a shining light to a lost world, that they may come and join in the joys that we have in serving God. Bless us, Lord, in all that we say and do according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become a Christian, in other words, of God's heritage. And the way that you do that is expressed in the scriptures. You know, sin, you're separated from God. And the only way that you can be right with Him is you're going to have faith in God's salvation system in Christ Jesus. That's why the gospel is preached. Not only do you do that, you have to repent, turn away from sin, change your mind, change your heart. And then what you must do is you must confess Him as Lord with a commitment to follow. And then be baptized into Christ. And as you are baptized into Christ, you are now being saved. Salvation is yours as you continue to walk and live faithfully. You are a Christian. You're growing and becoming Christ-like as you learn and apply the principles in your life. You are of the family of God. You're of God's heritage. Not only that, you're God's people, which the scripture describes as the church of the Lord, or the church of Christ, the church of God. You belong to God. You are His people. And God has given orders on how we are to organize ourselves as a local group, because we are wanting to do His will, because we are following Him. And then we live and continue to live faithfully as we walk accordingly, always serving and keeping Him first and uppermost in our hearts and minds. If you want that, we're here to help and assist you. And so if we can help you in your obedience to the Christ and become a child of God,